Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
I want to start today's podcast with a question. How did you get here? That is to say, how did you arrive at the current state of your artistic life? You didn't just wake up one day and say, okay, I'm going to go there. We probably each evolve in our own way, probably all different. I've heard a lot of stories over the years about how people get involved in photography. Their dad or their uncle or someone had a dark room and they got captured that way, particularly when the first print came up in the developer. Others got involved in photography because they were the yearbook photographer in their high school or some such thing. But one of the things that's consistent in everybody's starting story is a lineage. They picked up photography from somebody somewhere. They had a mentor and a hero, someone whose work they looked up to, someone who produced photographs that grabbed them and introduced them to the world of photography. And my observation is that beginning determines so much of what goes on in the rest of your life. It's a photo lineage, if you will. And however that lineage began, it set us off in a direction which we may still be following to this day, 20, 30, 50, 70 years later. Sometimes, without really examining whether or not that's the right path. I hope my experience isn't what other people had, because it was not a particularly valuable experience now that I look back on it all these years. So maybe my case is unique and different and, like I say, not yours. But on the other hand, I've shared my story with others to know that I'm not alone, in that one of my first aspirations was determined by Ansel Adams. He was the dominant photographer of fine art photography when I was growing up, and his influence was mind-boggling. I knew that's the kind of photography I wanted to do. Or did I? You see, I thought that was the kind of photography I wanted to do. I thought I wanted to be the next Ansel Adams, as though the world needed another one, as though one Ansel Adams weren't enough, and as though the army of other photographers who attended all of his workshops weren't enough. He was an inspiration, but for many of us, he was also a role model in aesthetics. The kind of images he made were the kind of images that we wanted to make. Although we maybe never had contact with him other than seeing his books, or maybe if we were really lucky, seeing an original print, nonetheless, his dominance in terms of our hero worship in photography was unquestioned. I guess we shouldn't be surprised at this, because in almost every walk of life, lineage is a big deal, particularly true in, religion and politics. Well, certainly in nobility. And it might seem like it's less true in photography, but I'm not so sure. I think each one of us sees ourselves as the inheritors, as an approach to the art life that not only informs our self-image, but can heavily influence what we produce. So in my earliest days, with Ansel Adams as the big kahuna, I donned backpacks and spent decades of my youth backpacking out there in the wilderness looking for the kinds of images that Ansel Adams inspired in me, only to find out that I didn't find them very rewarding. In the first place, I wasn't able to make images that looked like Ansel Adams, and so I developed a greater and greater respect for what he did. But when I got somewhat kind of in the ballpark, or maybe even something that I could look at with pride and say, oh yeah, that's a good one, it didn't fulfill me the way I thought it was going to. I had achieved a little bit of something, maybe 10% of what I needed to accomplish in order to be a successful photographer in his footsteps. But that little tiny bit of success that I did have didn't seem to be very rewarding, because eventually I realized I was following the wrong photographic lineage. I had fallen into the Ansel Adams lineage because he was famous, because he was popular, because he defined through his books, through his life, through his experience, what I thought was the photographic life. I didn't know back then about Joseph Sudik or Aaron Siskin or Wynne Bullock or any of the photographers who were to become so important in my life later, contemporaries, just a half a generation older than I am, like Jay Dussard and Don Kirby, Ryuji or Martha Kasanev, Huntington Witherell, John Sexton, the list could go on and on and on. Photographers whose work was unknown to me back then, but who I slowly started to discover as I spent more time in the bookstore, as I spent more time in the galleries, as I spent more time, eventually, when the internet came along, online, seeing photography, seeing work that connected with me on a deeper level than I had ever had with the beautiful, pristine nature photographs of Ansel Adams. I still like that kind of work, but it's not the central core of my photographic life. And that brings me to the point of this conversation, which is finding your photographic lineage and the central core of your photographic life is the first and most important job we all have when it comes to being fine art photographers. If we don't, then we'll spend the rest of our life taking other people's photographs with our camera and our effort and our time and our expense, but ultimately we'll find them somewhat lacking in terms of satisfaction when we look back at our career, because we'll realize that we haven't expressed our own response to the world. We've expressed, or maybe I should say even copied, someone else's response to the world. I've come to realize there's two approaches you can take to this thorny little problem about finding out who you are as a creative artist and as a photographer. One way is to completely abandon looking at other photographers' work. This is what's called photographic celibacy, and probably the champion of photographic celibacy that I know anyway, that I've run into, is Cole Thompson. We talked about that in our interview in Death Valley. He's a real advocate of photographic celibacy and goes out of his way to not look at other photographers' work because he doesn't want it to influence him. And you can see how that helps him relate to the world more directly instead of through other photographers' eyes. I can understand that. But the difficulty with that method is that he also doesn't get to learn from people who really are his photographic lineage. It works for him. Good for him. Returning to my story, which some of you have probably heard bits and pieces over the years, I was photographing the landscape, doing Ansel Adams kind of things in the landscape one day, and it was pouring rain and just miserable, particularly when you're out there with a view camera and the wind was blowing, and view cameras are kind of like sails. So all my pictures I knew were going to come out blurry because of camera movement. So I packed up the gear and headed back to town, where I decided to console myself with a bowl of ice cream. I stopped in a place that I knew of. This was in Port Townsend, Washington. And as I was sitting there next to the window eating my ice cream, I looked across the street and there was a place called Dollar's Garage. And because of my grandfather having been one of these greasy tool garage guys, I was immediately attracted to it, went over, entered the building, introduced myself, asked if I could make some pictures, and he said okay, and so I spent the day photographing his tool bench and his tools and etc. And he was a pretty nice guy. We had a nice conversation. He was curious about what I was doing, and I was a little bit dumbfounded because I wasn't quite sure what I was doing. All I knew is it felt like it was doing something deeper, something more true to myself than when I was out photographing the landscape for the previous 20 years of my life in photography. I realized that I was less interested in photographing pristine nature than I was in photographing things that had to do with me, with my life. And besides, I didn't need to make photographs of pristine nature because there are so many other photographers, including Ansel Adams, who are doing such a fantastic job of it, that if I want to relate to nature that way, I could either go hiking out in the woods somewhere, or I could enjoy their photographic efforts without having to do it myself. It was an existential crisis for me to discover that I was in the wrong photographic lineage in my own mind's eye. And at that point, with that hint of a revelation, I still didn't really understand it, but at least it was a hint of a revelation, I started looking at other photographers' books and eventually discovered deep connections with Sudeck and Siskin and Bullock and Edward Weston and Brett Weston, and realized maybe I was a lot more interested in abstract photography than I would have ever guessed. But I never did find anybody who photographed greasy tools and machine shops and the kind of thing that was my first hint out of my supposed photographic lineage. The valuable lesson there wasn't that I was in the wrong photographic lineage. The real lesson, the deeper lesson, was that I was in any photographic lineage at all. It never occurred to me that I had jumped into a groove when I decided to become a more serious photographer. But I did. It was an unconscious leap. And with that knowledge, I decided to leap more consciously into work that really affected me, that really touched me. And there's no question in those earliest days, that photographer, for me, ended up being Win Bullock. What was interesting is that Win Bullock also did work in the landscape the way Ansel Adams did, but his work in the landscape was entirely different from Ansel Adams' work in the landscape. And it had never occurred to me that landscape photography could be so different from what I had seen from Adams. Maybe the only other hint I had to that was some of my early impressions from Edward Weston, but I never thought of him as a landscape photographer. I thought of him as doing still lifes and nudes and, with California in the West, maybe travel photography, but I never perceived him as a landscape photographer. Both Bullock and Weston reminded me of people who were photographing life as they encountered it. And although I suppose I could say that Ansel Adams was photographing life as he encountered it, the kind of life that Weston and Bullock were encountering seemed so different from the happy pictures of Ansel Adams. And the image that kept coming back to my mind as I thought about this more and more was that I bought my camera, decided to pursue photography, and jumped on the first trolley car I could. And that one happened to be the Ansel Adams trolley car. But that trolley car was going to a completely different destination than where I wanted to end up. And it took a little courage for me to jump off that trolley car and find a different trolley car that was going where I wanted to go. And once I had done that, then the world of photography really opened up for me. Part of the reason I bring all this up is because I've had three encounters in the last year or so that were very interesting to me. They were photographers who were doing work that is primarily in the Ansel Adams aesthetic. And I was looking at their original prints, and we were having a nice conversation. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of all of these wonderful, beautiful, fantastic, upbeat landscapes, I found photographs that didn't fit that aesthetic at all. They were either abstracts, or they were suddenly a street photograph in the middle of all these beautiful mountain scenes. What are all these about? And why were they in the midst of a clamshell box of landscape images? Were they possibly seeds of which the photographer was unaware? Aware enough to have finished a print and matted it and put it in the box so they could haul it around with them and show, but maybe they weren't aware of how deep that seed really was. And so we began conversations along this line, essentially telling them my Ansel Adams story and trying to identify what their photographic lineage really was. And in all three cases, the conversation became very interesting, perhaps transformative. So let me ask the specific question to all of you who are listening to this. What is your photographic lineage, and is it the right lineage for what you want to do? Are you using photography to express your personal response to the world, or are you using photography to be a successful photographer? That is to say, following the path of those who have gone before you, even though what you might end up with are images that are not as powerfully personal as they could be. I always get a little nervous when I bring up this idea of powerfully personal photographs, because I'm not crazy about the idea of photography as psychotherapy. You know, if you've got issues you need to work out, you need to see a counselor. So there's a difference between working out some personal issues and problems and being expressive as an artist. But then again, maybe they are connected a little bit. Think Van Gogh, Edvard Munch, and I guess think Edward Weston. The real danger here, I think, is what I would call momentum of a photographic lineage that's carrying you along as though you're not in control, like you're a stick floating downstream and the water is carrying you and there's little you can do. Well, to some degree, that accurately defines the way I felt anyway when I came to the realization that I was doing the kind of photography that wasn't my personal interest in life. I was disconnected between my photographic life and my personal, emotive, deeper self. And it seems to me that when those two are connected is when you have the greatest chance to do something that's really interesting artistically. Doesn't mean you have to bare your soul and, you know, share all your dirty laundry with the world through your photographs. But I'm really glad that someone like Diane Arbus didn't spend her photographic life taking pretty pictures in Yosemite. Whereas I'm really happy that photographers like Ansel Adams or William Neal or Franca Gabler have spent a lifetime taking pictures in Yosemite, because that truly is their connection to the world. But how many of us run to those places to make photographs when really we're chasing the lineage because we think that's what we ought to be doing, because that's where the applause comes from, because that's the zeitgeist of the times we live in? I can't help but feel sometimes that the real difficult task of being a photographer is not mastering photography. It's learning about ourselves. It's being honest with ourselves. It's being aware of our deeper self and protecting and guarding and nurturing our inmost creative expressions. You see, selecting your photographic lineage is not nearly so much a matter of looking outside at the teachers or mentors or photographers you want to emulate, as much as it is looking inside to an inner lineage that compels you to explore the world in your own unique way, which, of course, as cliche as it might sound, only you can do. I'm not sure I can define it precisely in words, but I know when I look at a photographer's work, whether or not it comes from within them or if it comes from within someone else and they're just following the path. There's something intangible in their work that communicates a certain sincerity, but a sincerity that's attached more to acceptance than it is to individualism. It's as though they've created something that's meant to please rather than meant to express. I can't put my finger on it, but I can feel it when I look at someone's work. And even if their work is entirely different from anything I've ever wanted to do, it's a thrill, it's a joy to look at work that is that self-expressive, to be in contact with someone who is so aware of themselves that they can express it in their artwork so that we have the privilege of seeing the world through their eyes. That's what it means to be an artist.
Copyright 2024, Lenswork Publishing.